I preached and God blessed and moved, and as I was finished preaching, I turned the service back over to the pastor, and guess what? I tripped on the snare going, I almost fell out into the congregation. I was like, wow, God knows. But now I look for trip hazards and try to keep everything straight. For a text, I'd like to use 1 Timothy 6:12. 1 Timothy 6:12 reads, "Fight the good faith, fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses." Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. I would like to take that text and preach on a message entitled, Faith Fights. Faith Fights. Brother Terry, would you please pray over the sharing of the word?
Father, we just thank you today that we can gather together and to worship you. Father, we just ask that this word that is shared by Brother Nathan be your words, Lord, that are laid on his heart, that the truth of the gospel be known and spread among the nations for all days to come. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Amen. I'd like to share sometimes how a message came into fruition here. I had a message on my mind when Pastor asked me to share while he was gone, and I appreciate Pastor, and I appreciate the honor and the faith that he places in me. It's a blessing to come and share the Word of God. And I had this message all mapped out and planned out in my thoughts, and I was outlining it, and I entitled the message, Radical Reality. And I thought, that's a good title. I like that, Radical Reality. And I was thinking about this last night. I was like, you know what? I've heard that somewhere before. And my mind went back to when I was at Arcata High. You won't believe this. At Arcata High, they brought in a group called Radical Reality. They did. And they were these big, strong guys. They ripped phone books in half. They blew up hot water bottles with their mouth. They bent iron bars over their necks. One of them, he got a bar, like a barbell bar, and he got two people from the audience and pressed them over his head so they were off the ground and walked around with them, and he did all these incredible strongman things. But then he shared his testimony in a public school, Arcata High. Right, I remember just being absolutely overwhelmed. I was a young man. I'd been saved already, and I remember this guy, and I was like, "Wow, that is just powerful." And they talked about the choices that they made. Every single one of these men that was doing incredible feats of strength had a testimony, and they shared it. God delivered them out of addiction, out of fornication, out of all of these things that they had done, that they had brought all of this ruin upon themselves. One of the men shared a testimony that his girlfriend got pregnant and they were so strung out on drugs, when the child was born, its entrails were born exterior. He said that child lived just long enough for him to hold it and it died. And he repented. And he said, God, don't ever let me do this damage, this harm to another living being again. But the testimonies were powerful. And they didn't say in Jesus' name or anything like that, because it was still Arcata High. They said, come tonight. Come tonight and hear us share our testimony without censorship, so to speak. But they conveyed it. I remember this is what they said during school. They said, people say, show me where God is. Show me where God is. He said, imagine you're on a pen tip and that you're an ant. And then try to imagine somebody as large as I am coming down toward you. He said, that ant cannot possibly perceive me unless I were to crush it. He said, God is that way. And I remember thinking that, wow. And all, you know, all the kids in this public school going, eyes big and everything. But I thought, oh, radical reality, I remember this guy. So I looked up the word, radical reality, and guess what? Man's name is Donnie Moore. He still heads Radical Reality Ministries. Guess what? For the past 25 years, He's been the chaplain of the Oakland A's. I thought, wow, he still tours to this day talking to public school kids. And the statistic is he's talked to 7 million public school children over the past 35 years. And he just shares his testimony, shares his belief in God and how radical the reality of God is in a young person's life. His own personal testimony was when he was in college, he was an athlete, he got strung out on steroids so bad that he nearly died from it. And that was the catalyst that brought him to Christ. So, radical reality, that's good stuff. I looked up Donnie Moore, and I heard a message. I said, ooh, wow, that's good. Now, I can't preach like Donnie Moore preaches, but you know what? I'm going to share the message in Nathan fashion that he shared on that sermon that I watched, because faith fights, and it's a powerful message. That's right. You know, it says, fight the good fight of faith. And he shared a testimony. He said, you know, a good fight is a fight that you win. You know, you can get in a fist fight, and you can get hit and socked and beat up and kicked down and all around. But if you come out on the top of that fight and somebody asks you, how was that fight? It was a pretty good fight. You think I look bad, you should see the other guy. He came out on the short end of the stick. But when it says fight the good fight of faith, he's saying you must win. And through faith, you can win. You can overcome the adversities of your life through faith. And sometimes, as much as you'd like to avoid it, you have to fight. You have to put up some resistance. It's not always going to be easy. And you are not promised an easy path. And he asked a question. Are we fighting for faith? Or is faith fighting for us? Think about that for a second. Do you fight for faith? Do you contend for the faith? Does faith fight for you? That's right. Faith fights for us. Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. What is it that keeps us going in this present time of distress? What is it that keeps us going and motivated through life? Is it a political party? Is it a government act? Is it a life coach? Is it 10 tips for better living? No, it is faith that gives you the ability to face the facts of life. What is it that is able to deliver us unto a joyful, expectant life? There is nothing else aside from faith. Faith gives you the ability to overcome these things that you will surely face. Romans 1:17. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. By faith. You know, faith has never lost a battle. Never, ever, ever, ever. If you doubt it, open your Bible. By faith, Abel. By faith, Enoch. By faith, Noah. By faith, Abraham. By faith, Isaac. By faith, Joseph. By faith, Moses. By faith, Daniel. By faith, Samson. By faith, Rahab. By faith, Ruth. By faith, Sarah. By faith, Mary. By faith, Paul. You doubt it? Go check it out. Faith does not fail. Do people of faith fail? Some of those people I just listened. They failed in some point in their life. But if they stood on faith, what happened? They won. They obtained victory in their life. They overcame circumstances that you can't even imagine. You know there's a difference between faith and a miracle? Faith and a miracle? Yes, there's a difference between faith and a miracle. If the Hebrew children prayed to God, oh Lord, deliver us from the fiery furnace, God could have, from heaven, blown it out. No more fiery furnace. That would have been a miracle, absolutely, positively. What did God give the Hebrew children? He gave them faith. They were tossed in bondage. They were tossed in bondage into the fiery furnace, and guess what? The only thing that burned was their bonds. They came out of there not even smelling of smoke. They didn't even have the scent of a fire upon them. A miracle would have been no more fire. The fire was so hot, the testimony was, the men that cast them into the fiery furnace perished because of the heat. They were down in the furnace, and guess who was with them? One like unto the Son of God walking with them. And the only thing that was destroyed was their bondage. That's the difference between faith and a miracle. Catch your breath, Nathan. Catch your breath. All right, praise God. A miracle would have destroyed the lions in the lion's den. God didn't say, you know what? Daniel's about to go down there in that den. Let me reach down there and stop their breathing. Daniel go down there with a bunch of dead lions. That ain't what happened. God gave Daniel the faith. Daniel went down there amongst the lions. And in the morning the king came to him. Oh, Daniel, has thy God delivered thee? My God has surely shut the lion's mouth. He gave Daniel faith to face the adversity. He didn't change the circumstance. He changed Daniel through faith. We all want to be miraculously delivered from the circumstances of life, but God often just gives us the faith to face the adversities of this life. He sees us through it. Now, why would God do that? Why would God allow our faith to be tested so? You know, faith develops best when it's up against something. I've said it before. How do you know you love somebody? Go through some adversity with them. It'll reveal that you love them, or maybe you don't. All too often in society, people get into a little rough spot. What do? They bail. That's right, sis. They bail. Faith is just like that. You know, you can go to a gym, a place where people work out, and you can go and behold the weights, and you can visualize the weights, and you can take classes about the weights, and you can fantasize about the weights, but until you actually lift the weights, you won't get stronger. It will not happen. Faith is just that way. Until your faith is put to the test, your faith will not grow. You will not grow. You will not learn that the faith that is of God is able to see you through whatever adversity comes your way. If you don't use your faith, you will lose your faith. Just like your muscles. You know the best way to become an atrophied person? Put a cast on something. Any of you ever had a cast put on your arm or your leg or something? And then they cut that cast off and you see how atrophied your muscles are. They're just skin and bones there. It takes a while to get that strength back. How do you get the strength back? You exercise it. You have to use it. You have to use it. Talking about faith fights. Faith fights. The facts of faith are fine, but the facts of faith are fine, but without acts, faith is worthless. You can talk all you want about faith, but until you put it into practice, it does you zero good. And it actually may do you some harm. You ever heard the phrase, they have just enough truth to inoculate them against the reality of God? I know just enough God to shelter myself and immunize myself against a real radical, life-changing, transformative walk with God? Oh yeah, I know God. Do you know God? Do you know the God that can deliver you from the circumstances of life? And even more than that, see you through the circumstances of life? What does faith fight? Fear. Faith fights fear. 2 Timothy 1:7, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Faith and fear are like oil and water. They do not mix. They do not mix. Have you ever you ever seen oil sitting on top of water? It doesn't sink down into it. You ever see it on, you know, put some Dawn soap in there? You got all the grease, dish grease and everything. It's all floating on the top of it. You put a little bit of Dawn in there. Pushes it all back. Oh, look, there's some water. Not even clean, but it's water underneath all that grease. It's oil-based, water-based. They don't combine. Faith and fear are the antithesis, the opposites of each other. There is no fear in love. 1 John 4:18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Why? Because fear has torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Fear is of the devil, the adversary. It is a device that is used to destroy faith. And when fear's got a hold of you, you are in torment. You have no peace. Your life is bankrupt of any joy, of any hope. That's what fear does. Faith fights fear. What else does faith fight?
Feeling. Nothing more than feeling.
I can't sing, but you may have heard the song sung by somebody who can sing it better than I can. Why would faith fight against feelings? I don't feel like going to church. I don't feel saved. I don't feel nice. Truth be told, I feel wicked. I feel naughty. I feel unclean. We do not live by feelings. We live by faith. By faith. Feelings are like sailboats. They go wherever the wind blows. That's what happens with feelings. Faith is like a U.S. naval destroyer. It goes where the captain orders it to go. It doesn't matter which way the wind's blowing. It doesn't matter which way the waves are going. It goes straight ahead wherever it is the captain commands it to go. That's what faith does. It is contrary to feelings. You may not feel saved, but by faith, through grace in God, you can be assured you are saved. And because you are saved, I can face any adversity because I know my Father in heaven cares about me. He loves me and He will see me through this. He said, "I will let no temptation come your way that you are not able to overcome." If it's coming your way, guess what? That's right. God is expressing faith in you. He's saying, "Terry can overcome this obstacle. Terry can overcome this temptation, whatever it is that's coming his way. If it weren't possible for Terry to overcome it and be victorious in it, God wouldn't allow it to happen." He promised it. He said, "God is faithful. God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted above that which you are able, but with every temptation give a way of escape." He promised it. Talking about faith. Genesis 7:5. "And Noah did according to all that the Lord commanded him." Ask yourself this. Do you think Noah felt like building a boat? a boat that was so big, so large, that until the Titanic was built, human beings didn't build another vessel that large for thousands of years, and he built it out of wood. Do you think it might have taken a day or two to build the ark? Do you think that this big vessel that they were building, nowhere near the water, might have raised a few eyebrows? Might have caused his neighbors and passersby to go, "What is he doing? This man's lost his mind. He is off his rocker. This guy is the greatest fool that the world has ever seen. Hey, get a load of this guy. He's building, it looks like a boat, and there ain't no water anywhere near here." It took a long time to build that ark. It wasn't done by feelings, because I'm pretty sure the feelings were all negative. It was done by faith. By faith. There was another man in the Bible. His name was Job. Job had it rough. He lost his children. He lost his wealth. He lost his health. His friends came by to comfort him. And they accused him of sin, hypocrisy, and everything but being a child of God. Some comfort they were. His own wife came to him and said, "Curse your God and die. You've had enough." I'm sure that Job wasn't feeling all that great. I'm sure that Job wasn't feeling all that splendid. And yet, through all of this adversity, in the depth of despair, and as low as you could possibly go in faith, Job said these words in Job 19:25. "For I know that my Redeemer lives, and that he shall stand in the latter day upon this earth." Job was as down as he could possibly get, and at the bottom of the depth of his despair, he prophesied of a coming Messiah who would stand on this earth in physical form. That's a man of faith. I'm sure his feelings weren't there. The Bible tells us that he sat amongst the garbage, scraping his skin, the boils with a potsherd, a jagged edge of it. He was scraping the pus and everything out of his skin. I'm pretty sure that wasn't too pleasant. I'm pretty sure the feelings weren't all fine. But his faith was unshakable. And at the depths of his despair, he also said these things: "The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Amen. Talk about faith fights. Faith fights facts. Facts. You know, facts are stubborn things. Can't overcome facts. Fact is. Anybody watch Olympic wrestling this week? I did a little bit. I don't understand a whole lot about wrestling. I had the commentators explain to me what was happening half the time. But you know, you'd see these guys, and some of these guys, you know, 260 pounds, and they're wrestling and grappling with each other. But then you'd see these other weight classes. You know, some of these guys were very small, young women, young guys. Some of them were not young. Some of them were pretty old. But they were always of a like size, grappling, trying to toss each other, trying to turn each other, trying to pin each other, trying to push each other out of the ring. Okay, what do you suppose would have been the fact of things happening if you had paired up the lightest lightweight with the super heavyweight? What would happen? What are the facts of that scenario right there? Big guy wins. It could be boxing. You see boxers? I saw the Olympic boxers. I saw the heavyweights, I saw the bantamweights, I saw the featherweights and the lightweights and the middle heavyweights and all these different. If you took the super heavyweight, the biggest unlimited guy, and put him against that little 100 or 90-something pound guy, and you let him go for 3 minutes, what do you think would happen? Facts don't lie. There's a reason why they keep them separate by weight, right? 1 Samuel 17:33, and Saul said to David, "Thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth." The facts are, David, you're going to get slaughtered. And it's not only going to be your loss, it's going to be our nation's loss, because you're going to represent us as our champion. You're a fool, David. This is the king speaking. King said, fact is, David, if you're going to go fight that guy, you need some armor. Fact is, you're going to need a sword. Look at him. Just look at him. There's not a man in this army who could defeat him, and you're going to go out there and fight him? You better take my armor. You better take my sword. You put it all on him, and David said, I haven't proved this, King. It's a very polite way of saying, no, thank you. He said, I am not worthy of your armor. He put his armor off. And he went out to face the giant. Fact is, David's about to lose his life. David did not need his armor. He did not need the king's sword. He didn't even need the king's approval. Why? Because he believed in God. His faith told him, God is going to deliver this Philistine into my hand. The Bible tells us that Goliath was this huge old man. His spear was like a weaver's beam. He didn't only have a spear, he had a shield, he had a helm, he had a sword. Imagine the kind of sword that Goliath could swing. Guess what happened to that sword? David took it from him and cut his head off. Facts are, that don't happen. But faith is greater than facts. Faith overcomes the circumstances that we are placed in, because faith wins every single time. And if you'll recall, if you read further in David, the story of David's life, guess what happened to that sword? That sword became David's sword. He wielded it in battle at his maturity. Yes. The sword, the weapon that was forged against him, became his own. That don't happen. Facts. Faith fights against facts. Genesis 17:5. Neither shall thy name be any more called Abram, but thy name shall be called Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee. So he changed his name from Abram to Abraham, which means father of many nations. And yet for decades, people say, Abraham, how many children do you have, Abraham? Father of many nations, huh? How are the grandkids coming along, Abraham? Fact is, Abraham's shelf life had expired. Fact of life. Abraham, how old are you exactly? I'm a spring chicken of 100. Sarah, how old are you, Sarah? 90. Facts of life, the facts of life. Genesis 18:12. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure? My Lord being old also? She said, it has ceased to be with me after the way of women. I'm not even cycling anymore. And you think that this womb is going to have a child? And my husband Abraham, he's 100 years old. He's going to give me a child? Lord, I didn't laugh. I didn't laugh, Lord. Guess what? She bore a child, and guess what his name was? Laughter. Fact is, it shouldn't have been possible. It shouldn't have happened. But faith overcomes fact. Faith is more powerful than the circumstances that you will find yourself in. Faith is powerful, and it fights for you. If you will allow it, if you will employ it, if you will exercise it. Faith fights against fatalism. What is fatalism? It's over. I'm done. Moving deck chairs on the Titanic doesn't mean anything. Don't mean anything. Can't change anything. It's over. Done. Fatalism. That's the very depth of despair. When you don't even believe that life's worth living anymore. That's fatalism. The man that shared this message, he was sharing his own testimony. I told you, he talked to millions of school children and shared the gospel. He was the chaplain of the Oakland A's. He was a fitness champ. And he decided to compete for the over 50 men's strongest man over 50. So he was bench pressing over 500 pounds, over 50 years old. Well, he was working out and he was taking supplements he bought over the counter. And guess what? They were laced with steroid. He nearly killed himself in college taking steroids. So as soon as they got into his system, he couldn't sleep. He couldn't rest. He started to degenerate. He was trembling. He was shaking. He shut himself off from the world. He wouldn't speak to his wife. He wouldn't speak to his daughter. He wouldn't speak to his grandchildren. He couldn't minister. Turned off the light, sat in the dark, waiting to die. And one of the Oakland A's, who was a man of faith, came to him and said, "Come see the team doctor. Just try it. I don't want to talk to you. Go away. Leave me alone. It's over. My health is failing. Leave me alone." Man didn't give up. Man came to him again and again and said, "Come, just talk to the doctor." Doctor did some blood tests, discovered those steroids in his system. Said, "I understand what's happening. Your brain is all messed up. Your hormones are so far out of balance, it's amazing that you're even alive." But you know what his testimony was? Even though he despaired of life, he said, "I never once felt like it was God's fault. I never once thought that God didn't care about me. That I was in a dark, dark spot." You're going to get down. You're going to go through tough times. Faith says, "This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." That's Psalm 118:24. "Nathan, you do not understand. It's too hard. Can't overcome this. This is a mountain." You know, faith always includes an "after this." After this. Did you know that the term "after this" appears in the King James Version of the Bible 457 times? It came to pass. After this. Job 42:16. Remember Job? We were talking about him a little while ago. All the horrible things that happened to Job. Job 42:16. "After this lived Job 140 years. After this. And he saw his children's children to the fourth generation. After this. After this. Faith fights fatalism. It came to pass. That's one of my favorite scriptures. And like I said just a moment ago, 457 times in the King James Version. It came to pass. It. Doesn't matter what it is. It came to pass. It will not stay. You will not be in the circumstances forever. It came to pass. Tough times don't last. It came to pass. 1 Thessalonians 3:4. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and ye know. That's the final time that it appears in the King James Version. And he said, this tribulation, we told you it was coming. You saw it, it came to pass. It came to pass. It was here for a little while, and it was gone. You know, either the circumstance will pass, or you will. It's true. 2 Corinthians 5:8 says, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. The circumstance is coming. It's going to pass away, or you're going to pass away, and either way, you're going to be better off. Praise God. Talking about faith fights, and I'm wrapping it up. Thank you, Nathan. It's been too long. 2 Corinthians 6:2. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Tomorrow, maybe. Next week. After I get my life straightened out. After I go to rehab. After I get out of the situation that I'm in. I'm a homeless person. I'll come to church after I have some nice clothes to wear. As soon as I can stop cursing, I'll come to church. Just as I am. You will never come to God's salvation until you come just as you are. And you know what? Everyone talks about salvation, and we in Christian circles come to understand that that means deliverance of your soul and a rebirth and being made new in faith. But guess what? Salvation is deliverance. Salvation is deliverance. Today is the day of deliverance. You must exercise faith. If you wish to be delivered from whatever circumstance is holding you in bondage, you must exercise faith. Today is the day of salvation. Not tomorrow, not 5 minutes from now, not after we say amen and walk out those doors. Right now. Whatever need it is that you have, bring it to the Lord. Right now. Talking about faith fights. You know, we could go through a ceremony. We could go through a ritual. We could say, oh, let's bow our heads and not nobody looking around and ask if anybody has not received the Lord. If you have a need, raise your hand with everybody looking around. I have a need. But I also believe that God is able. We're going to close in prayer. You know what? If you have a need, lift it up right now and exercise faith. And if you have a need that you'd like the elders to pray with you after church, come on up. But let's close in prayer and live by faith.